Well, happy Thursday. Hope you have had a good week thus far, and still a little bit more of the week yet to come before we're into the weekend and all kinds of wonderful activities. And more on that will be forthcoming as well in just a few moments right here on Perspectives, which is what you're listening to. And thank you so much for tuning in to WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, and we're going to be talking about beautiful things today, especially this area that we all think is so lovely and convivial and amenable to just about whatever you want to do. But it's up to us to kind of keep it that way, so we'll get into that in just a moment. A reminder first, though, you are always welcome to be part of the conversation at 414-1234, the local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance twixt you and us, Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. And if you tweet us, it's at WFSU Perspective, singular, because it is such a singular program. When's the last time someone came to visit you from out of town or maybe even out of state? Could be out of country. Gee whiz, so many of us have international friends now. And just could not get over the incredible beauty of this area when it comes to the trees and the rivers and the streams and just the rolling hills and the red clay and the area down around the coast. And they're just overwhelmed and they can't believe that anybody lives in such a gorgeous environment. And you kind of puff up your chest a little bit and say, yes, that's why we love it too. Well, it's not just natural beauty that is worth preserving, but it's also to make sure that whatever changes we might make to that environment are also aesthetically pleasing, and that the natural beauty that we love so much stays that way in concert with whatever we have leveraged upon it. So that's just sort of a roundabout way of saying we're going to talk about beautification today and what's being done locally in our area when it comes to such things. So let's meet our panel. If you would check around the radio here, going from your right to my left, backwards here. We say hi first to Diana Hansen, distinguished FSU alum and executive director of Keep Tallahassee Leon County Beautiful, grad from Leadership Tallahassee. Also worked at the old Gaffer's Department Store, which is so fondly remembered by a lot of us. And Diane, it's good to have you here.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
From right down the road, we say hey to Joanne Palmer, Executive Director of Keep Wakulla County Beautiful, more than 30 years of organizing, motivating, and facilitating volunteers to make a positive difference in the community to the south of us. And good to see you.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
Okay, Joanne. And from Keep Florida Beautiful, we welcome Mary Jean Yawn. She's had 30 years with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, spent 4 years with Audubon Florida, and became executive director of Keep Florida Beautiful just last year.
Mm-hmm.
And helped to get this all organized. How did you get from DEP to Audubon and then into Keep Florida Beautiful, Mary Jean?
I would just say that's good fortune, Tom. It's been a nice path, and you know, we're happy to be here with you today because this is just a really wonderful organization that we're involved with Keep Florida Beautiful, and then that next level of affiliates around the state. So looking forward to the discussion.
Well, while we're talking to our organization then, you also have a national umbrella for this whole thing, right?
Yes. You know, it's almost like I like to refer to Keep America Beautiful as our mothership. We all report to Keep America Beautiful. We want to be in good standing, and we want to help get out the good programs and products that they have. There's probably about a little less than 30 of my counterparts, different states that have state-level affiliates. And then here in Florida, we're really fortunate to have 44 affiliates all over the state. And so today we're focused local, but we've got the whole state pretty well covered.
Wow. Well, I can remember back in the days of Keep America Beautiful when one of the driving forces there was Lady Bird Johnson, President Johnson's wife, who went on this tear about billboards. And there was this huge outpouring of pro and con. It got to be a pretty contentious discussion there just about, you know, should we have all these billboards along the highways and byways of America? And I think she kind of won to a degree. We still see billboards today, but not as many as we used to.
Yeah, and sometimes billboards can be a good way of communicating. Joanne can tell you a story about that in a little bit. But I think the message there is you need a high-profile champion. for a lot of these programs to really help get the word out. And to this day, Keep America Beautiful has one of their most prestigious awards named after Lady Bird. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Jan, tell us about that. I know it's especially political season in Wakulla County. My gosh, you can't go more than 6 inches without tripping over a billboard down there.
That's right. Well, what Mary Jean is referring to is a new slogan that we came up with. And the visual is very impactful because we have a billboard. Thank you, that says litter is unnatural. And the visual is half of the billboard is a river filled with plastic bottles and a lot of debris, and the other half is the natural beauty which we encounter in Wakulla County, which is the beautiful waterways. So it makes people think litter is unnatural. It shouldn't be wherever it is. So hopefully it's a billboard, and hopefully it'll give people the idea, hey, look, we need to keep our waterways and our streets and streams and everything litter-free.
Well, you've got your own particular challenges there in Wakulla County with, of course, all the back roads there going, whether it's through the National Forest or whatever else. And a lot of folks still, I don't know why, but will use that area as their own personal dumping ground. And that's got to be a real bugaboo for you
guys. It is very difficult, especially because we offer now and have for 4 years garbage pickup. Which before we got universal garbage collection, which included recycling, people had to either pay a private provider or take it to the landfill, which we no longer have a landfill. It's just a transfer station. And I don't understand why people don't take advantage of that. As a kickoff for our Great American Cleanup, on the 27th, we have the forest cleanup. Wakulla County, 70% Apalachicola National Forest. So the majority of the county is open to people on a 24-hour basis. And people go in there 24 hours, dump mattresses and things that we really need to keep out of there. And I don't know, other than trying as what we do to change the behavior of people, we still have to pick it up.
Yeah, you're fighting a long-standing tradition.
It is a long-standing tradition.
Yeah, well, and then you get into a more urban environment, Diana Hansen, and you've got certainly some non-urbanized areas of Leon County, but here in the city of Tallahassee, you've got that bailiwick too, and the streets and the neighborhoods and all. That's got to be a huge challenge for you.
Well, it's exciting to have the city and the county to work within. But, yes, there's illegal dumping even there. We're doing a big cleanup on Tower Road, and it's always on our radar somehow or other, like the forest. People think it's a nice, easy place to go dump things, and it's a shame. It really is. I wish people wouldn't do it. I wish we could change the behavior, but we hope to, by example and other people, you know, taking ownership and cleaning things up, that they'll maybe care a little more.
Yeah. No, you've got some neighborhoods that just seem, I don't know if it is involvement. It's not necessarily coercion on the part of the homeowners association, but there seem to be some parts of town where it just, you never see anything out of place. You very seldom see, you know, an empty beer can along the side of the gutter. You know, it's cleaned up almost immediately. There are other places that don't have that. How do you kind of change those behaviors and those just the way people feel about where they live?
Well, we're partnering this year with the Southside communities. Kona is one of the partners, and CAN, Capital Area Network Neighborhoods.
We have so many acronyms
in this.
I've
got to get
this
right. But they have between 6 and 9 neighborhoods who are really coming together with each other. Some are doing big plantings, community gardens in their neighborhoods, the 27th, others for cleanups. And it's really a good feeling. They're getting to get together with friends now and take ownership and pride in their neighborhood. So we're targeting, if I may, Bond, South City, Apalachee Ridge, College Terrace, Providence, and Wilson Green. And the city of Tallahassee has had an effort for the last couple of years to really try to lift that area and encourage new business and just a spiffing up.
And there's also a community-wide effort, too. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Mary Jean Young, what I was interested in, though, was the kind of genesis of the whole roadside cleanup. You can go from one end of Florida to the other, and the Adopt-a-Highway program is just – it's just about every single thoroughfare in this state has been adopted by some group or organization that now takes responsibility for that roadside cleanup.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I didn't point out that we have our funding right now, last year, and hopefully next year through the Department of Transportation, Florida Department of Transportation. And that is one of their key programs, the Adopt a Highway program. And so we help them try to bring new entities into that program. But you're right, there's success there. And there's through this conversation, I keep hearing the word pride. And that is really a key word. So if someone has signed up for a stretch of highway, then they'll take pride in that. You can take that to a level even higher and say, we strive for community pride. If where you live and work and play is you are proud of that and enjoy living there, then hopefully that behavior does change and everybody gets involved and keeps it in a nice, I won't say pristine, but in a good state when it comes to its appearance. So Adopt a Highway is a really good example of that. And also many of the counties and maybe cities too all have their own local versions of that. We have Adopt a Road at the county level. We have Adopt a Street at the city level. So again, that's a real popular program.
Yeah, and it can't be done with really paid staff by the city and county. It can help coordinate those sorts of things, but the real legwork, the actual doing it, has to be done by volunteers. How do you get more folks involved with that, Joanne?
Well, I think it's, as Mary Jean pointed out, that depends on how you can get people to be prideful of what they're doing, if they want to be involved in the community. I know that Keep Ocala County Beautiful has adopted a stretch of the highway, Adopt a Highway for the state right through Crawfordville. So it helps to encourage us and our volunteers to be out there on the main street of Crawfordville. There are two new Adopt that our program helped get people engaged in Panacea. And we have 95 miles, excuse me, we just got some new, of Adopt a Road in Wakulla County, 95 miles. And that's incredible that we have that many people who help. And as you pointed out, that's not funded by the county. We don't have county employees to go out there and pick the litter up. And those people report back, and that helps us to justify how we take care of getting promotion and how we continue to get funding, because we have people helping and giving back to the community. That's part of the statistics that Mary Jean talked about for the Keep America, is how we show them what we're doing with the efforts and the training that they give us.
We're keeping Florida, Wakulla County, and Tallahassee-Leon County beautiful today with representatives from those organizations here on Perspectives, and your input welcome as well at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, or perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. Hey, we are back on Perspectives. Thanks a lot for joining us here as we talk about beautification efforts, which are so dependent on volunteers, whether it's on the state or the local level here in our area and really throughout the country, because as much as we like to say that, oh, people get paid for doing that, they really don't. And we have someone on the line who's going to join us right now. That's Donna, who is on line one to kick us off on the phones. Hi, Donna. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. Let me take off speaker.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I'm really excited about the opportunity to bring mass transportation back, because we can sure enjoy North Florida well from Amtrak. And I remember taking Amtrak often, was going over to Pensacola or Jacksonville or up to Savannah. And you can enjoy the countryside so much better when you're not driving. And I'm thinking of how much it will help people who need to travel for medical reasons. Maybe they're not feeling so well and they need to get over to Jacksonville, or maybe over to Texas to the cancer centers. I think bringing Amtrak back is a fabulous idea. Or think about going over to the Florida Folk Festival. It's just a marvelous service to bring back to our area, and I'm hoping that they'll think about even stopping at Lloyd in Jefferson County, which is the oldest railroad station in Florida.
That's right. Oldest in Tallahassee is number two. Well, are you going to be there to welcome the train when it comes in tomorrow, Donna?
Well, not only that, but I get to board it in Chipley and ride it from Chipley to Tallahassee, so I'm so thrilled.
Lucky you. Well, we'll be looking for you. We're going to have a reporter down there to cover that when it comes rolling in around 2:30 or so tomorrow afternoon. Thanks for your input. Appreciate that.
And I'm also hoping that the Jefferson County residents will show up at the Lloyd Station and kind of, you know, show some support.
Yeah, well, we'll see how many folks come out there at Lloyd. But speaking of beautification, that is another beautiful way to see the country if you are out and traveling and you get a totally different perspective from the train than you will from the highway. But getting back to our highway and the beautification projects there, how many volunteers let's find out here, Joanne, as far as Wakulla County is concerned, how many volunteers do you guys have to help out with whether it's roadside cleanup or getting out into the national forest, all that kind of very from?
It varies. It depends on their interest. You know, some people want to be out there just for an hour or so. It depends on the interest. But we usually have between 75 to 200 people that work.
Individuals, or do you have some groups that
we
are
up to? We have
some
groups. Our best groups are the Wakulla High School NJRTC, which are just dedicated cadets, and they do all of our manual labor when we have projects. And then we have the Interact. We have an AVID program. So a lot of students. We have help from some of the community-based organizations. Panacea Waterfront Sporta Partnership is a good collaborator as well, and Big Bend Maritime Center volunteers. So we have good groups.
Well, there is those sporadic efforts, there are ongoing efforts, and then sometimes there are, should we say, super efforts. And Diana Hansen, here in Tallahassee-Leon County, there is an annual super effort to talk about that.
Yes, we have a super clean sweep, which is part of the Great American Cleanup through Keep America Beautiful. It's the 23rd year that our organization's been in effect, and Super Lube has been our sponsor of this event for 21 of those years. So we are very happy to have businesses in town that will partner with us and really make it a community effort. We average upwards, it depends on the year, as many as 1,500 volunteers, about 50 projects, and those include forest cleanups. We've done those in the past. Also, county, city parks. We run the Adopt a Street program, so all of those folks are geared up to come out on that day as well. And also, it's so much fun when you get volunteers and they come out and they have a good time and they want to do it again. You can offer the Adopt a Street program that, you know, so they can do it every other month if they'd like to and keep it going. So people don't realize that there is no paid person to come out and pick up litter. There just isn't. So it's a great way to come out and help your community.
And that's set for a week from this Saturday, right?
1 week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's February 27th. And about 50 projects, maybe 2,000 volunteers.
Just depends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if people want to find out more, obviously there is a website they can
there
go to.
There is a website.
And which one is that?
www.ktlcb.com. I want to mention, too, that we also challenge first graders at the same time, the beginning of the week, February 22nd, and the teachers to clean up their campus or beautify, plant something, to make an impression on children early. We provide great books for each teacher and classroom, and the supplies to do cleanups if that's what they choose to do. And there's a pizza party for the winning first grade class that shows the most initiative. So,
great motivator there.
Yeah, hopefully.
Mary Jean Young, let's talk about closer to home, though, because these are community-wide efforts, and they're wonderful and all that. But still, it's kind of like charity begins at home. So does cleanup, really. And if you can keep your own space maybe a little bit more in order to not only provide – yes, we want to set an example for the children and all that kind of thing. But really, it helps the entire neighborhood, too. If you are in a cleaner neighborhood, if you get a little bit more out of line, there is actually peer pressure from your neighbors that, you know, don't do that. Don't throw that old tire out there back by that tree. You know, come on, let's clean that thing up, right?
That's so true. And there's been lots of humorous stories along the way of people leaving things out and neighbors gently telling them, or maybe neighbors forcefully telling them because there's bylaws. You know, it just never – the whole concept of lead by example is just so important to all of this, because ultimately what you're trying to do, and these words have come up today around the table, is change people's behavior. You know, don't go from thinking that gum wrapper's okay to toss down, or that bottle to I can't do this, you know. And I can take it down to the microscopic level that, you know, when I go out on runs with friends, we go through city parks and stuff. And I know I drive them crazy, but I can't help it. You know, it's like I see a big piece of litter, or I see where somebody sat on a bench and ate their lunch and left the styrofoam container and everything, you know, and it just drives me insane. And I pick it up and I annoyingly chirp at my friends, keeping Florida beautiful.
You must be a lot of fun to be around.
I am. But I'll tell you, and maybe this will prompt some phone calls coming in here, they've started doing it too. They look at me, make sure I see it, pick something up, and we all run back to the trash can. So
that's great.
That's a real small scale. But when you start talking about those kids, education is where I think some part of our niche is get in those schools and talk to them. A lot of – you'll have examples around the state where kids pledge to, you know, clean, green school grounds and make a point of doing that. So there's so many ways to get the message out.
Yeah, I can even recall back in elementary school with maybe 30 seconds to go in recess, the teacher would ring a bell. We would all have to line up and she would hand out these little paper bags, and we were expected to then patrol the recess yard and pick up everything, gum wrappers, candy, detritus, whatever was out there. And that had to be done before we could go back in then.
That's great.
That is great.
So, you know, we camp a lot, and it's the same thing Mary Jean was talking about. If you set an example, people send a tend to pick up on that. And I got the reputation from my family of being the recycle guru. I would go through everybody's trash because, you know, most people are enjoying adult beverages and the kids are having Coke and water. And I would go through everybody's trash and pull out all the recycle. Well, now my nephew admitted on Saturday that I was a bad influence because he's worse than I was. And I'm like, how can you be worse? But it is true that people need to see, because some people are embarrassed or don't really know what to do. And you can educate anybody. And I came up when Mary Jean has seen this, and we just donated this to Gulf Specimen Marine Lab because they have 20,000 students go through that laboratory during the school year, and most of the classrooms eat their lunch there. And they did not have a proper recycling container to encourage the kids. So now they're starting a new initiative to have the teachers instruct the children that you need to recycle. And so we just donated, keep Color County Beautiful just donated a new recycling receptacle and a trash can that says on the top, can it be recycled? And on the front of the trash can, we have a picture of a landfill. And my statement says on the can, what you put in here goes in the landfill, the picture. So I try to encourage people to think about what you throw in your trash, because in going to schools and talking to students, I say, where does your trash go? And they go, in a big truck. And then I thought, well, where does it go after that? And they go, well, I don't know. I said, do you think it just magically disappears, or who do you think's responsible for picking that up? And students and kids are just so innocent. They really don't think beyond the trash receptacle. And I said, you just think it goes in there, and then poof, it disappears. I said, but you know where it actually ends up? It ends up in this, in a picture of a landfill with the birds and the tractors and all the trash. And kids are surprised. They don't think about that. So those are teachable moments when you can – even you listeners, think about everything you throw in that trash can in your bathroom, in your kitchen, is going to end up in a landfill.
That's right, unless you do have a unified recycle situation.
Exactly.
Diana Hansen, we do now in Tallahassee.
Yes.
Has that had an impact on the amount of stuff you think that gets thrown out, you know, in less responsible ways? Or have we not seen any difference, do you think?
I hope so. I know it's a lot easier now. We used to try to target some of the downtown restaurants and bars and things where it was so hard to separate out different kinds of glass and plastic and bottling kind of things. And now it's single stream. Everything gets sorted out at the next level, which would be MARPAN usually, or the city recycling. So it's a gift. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and it also has a better use than it.
Yes.
You use less resources to take a recyclable and turn it back into a useful item than starting from scratch.
Exactly.
So I wanted to find out, too, for those folks who maybe don't have a homeowners association that has been connected to, whether it's in Wakulla County or Tallahassee, Leon or whatever, and folks just think, boy, you know, that's something we could really do, just our own little neck of the woods. Are there any resources that people can connect with, Mary Jean, or what do you do there?
You know, that's a tough one. Every affiliate has a website, and so there's always, you know, people here in Tallahassee can reach out to Diana and just say, you know, is there something we can do? But it doesn't always have to be that formal. You know, I think a lot of times you can just, again, you've got a person who's out there. I've seen this in my neighborhood, a lot of walkers, and they'll just grab a plastic bag, put stuff in there. And it's not always littering per se with intent to litter. It's Wednesdays when the garbage truck comes and something blows off, you know, in that process, and you're just like, whoa, we can't have this. So, you know, it takes a caring individual or individuals, plural, to start it. And then if the more formal they want to get, I think we're here for everybody in terms of ideas. If there's an adopt a street, adopt a road, adopt a highway.
Yeah. And in the case of Joanne, you've got like adopt a waterfront, because you've got all of that area there too that that we don't have. I mean, the Gulf of Mexico backs right into Wakulla County, and a lot of that stuff comes from Lord knows where, but it washes up.
It washes up, and that's something that I pointed out to students too is, you know, when it's raining really hard and you see the water going into the drain, where do you think that goes? Do you think that there's a big net at the end of that stops all that litter from going into the ocean? No, it flows right down into the Wakulla Basin. And that something that people don't think about is there's litter that you cannot see. Just because you don't see it on the side of the road, there's plenty of litter in our waterways. When we do coastal cleanup, people dig down through the thick marsh and get in that marsh grass and see things that have washed up. And the Wakulla River, we have divers that go in there and drag things up. The sinkholes, people just think that they can dump wherever they feel like. Wherever there's a body of water, well, I'm going to throw that in there because it's going to sink to the bottom and nobody cares. And then we turn our tap on and, boy, we're drinking that water that's been contaminated. So if people really thought about the contamination that is happening to our aquifer, it's not just about the litter you see, it's about the litter you don't see. So we should properly dispose of every item that you touch.
Is that legend true about the Toyota that was found at the bottom of Blue Sink?
Yes. Blue Sink, I'm not sure about Blue Sink, but there is still a Coke machine in Cherokee Sink. And I have a friend, one of our board members is a diver, has a dive shop, and he takes people out. And the commitment that he made when he got involved with our organization was that he would never do another dive without a cleanup. So every time he dives, he brings up bags of litter, and so do the people that are on the dives with him. So keep in mind, if just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, and that was another nefarious tradition, too, as I recall, in Wakulla County, where the kids would party around the sinks and everything would go in the sinks.
You know, that's true, and I was probably one of those partiers as a young person. You know, you never were supposed to go to Cherokee Sink, but, you know, that's what we did. And it's culture. It's a cultural change. It's more awareness. It's more education. And we are seriously, as an affiliate of Keep America Beautiful, trying to change behavior. And if I can touch one person today or one person every day, that's going to change their behavior and not throw that on the ground, make sure it makes it to the trash can, then you know, we're successful, because it's like the domino effect. Mary Jean's already made me aware that I need to think more closely about that. It's like my nephew picking things up out of the – it's if you get one person to change their behavior, then you're going to help – domino effect. And that's what we really need to try to do. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to help you keep Wakulla County Beautifuls. KWCB.org. We have resources. We have, if you're not sure what needs to be recycled or what can be recycled, let us know. Diana, Mary Jean, let us know.
Go ahead, Diana.
Well, that does make me remember when Lake Iamonia was drained down. We had a big group of volunteers went out there, and Josh McSwain said, "We found things at the bottom of this lake that dated back to the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't go away." He said, "It's never been cleaner." So you love it when the lakes are drawn down, so you really do get a chance to do a wonderful cleanup.
Yeah, I keep wondering what you're going to find in some parts of Lake Jackson because of the periodic sinkhole opening up there that drains mm-hmm. that lake. And this was the first time – God, it must have been in the early 80s when the sinkhole opened up. And people were throwing all kinds of weird stuff down there. And it doesn't work. It's supposed to do that. Yeah.
Hey, Tom, can I add a little something?
Sure.
And this may actually translate into me asking Diana a question. But, an important point needs to be made. Litter is very important, a lot of what we do. Many more programs above and beyond that. And one that I was just thinking about was graffiti abatement because it's its own visual kind of litter in some cases. But, you start looking at Gain Street and you see wonderful murals and things like that. And I remember Diana's board talking about an effort near that Gain Street corridor to be able to do something better than just than graffiti. And, wondered if you could tell folks about that.
You're coming up on a break. Think about that, Diana, and then we'll address that on the other side of our quick little timeout here on Perspectives. In the meantime, talking beautification in Florida, in Tallahassee, Leon County, and McCullough County, too. 414-1234, 800-926-8809, or perspectives@wfsu.org. Back in a moment. We are back on Perspectives and talking about making the world around us even partier than it already is. And Diana Hansen, we were just throwing a question at you, courtesy of Mary Jean Yon, about graffiti abatement. And here in an urbanized environment like Tallahassee, sometimes that's a problem. Right?
Well, we did work with the police department. They do have a hotline number, 891-4500, if you see graffiti. It's kind of tricky because if it's on an electric box, it has to have a certain kind of paint. If it's on a stop sign, it's a different kind of paint. So they don't really want you to run out there and fix those. But if it's on a concrete wall or that sort of thing, they want you to report it. And they determine whether it's gang-related or just mischief. So we do have a dedicated graffiti remover on our board who wishes to remain anonymous. But he'll spend his off time going around. He takes pictures first. He has a big, thick notebook. The police have stopped him before to say, "What are you doing?" He shows them the notebook, and they're like, "Thank you." He takes care of a lot of it. The city is really working hard on Art Alley, which is down off of Gaines. And it's providing a wall for murals. And, you hope that might encourage people to do real art and not want to deface other places around town. It will be an experience, and we'll see how that works. But it should be opening in early summer.
Yeah, there's, in fact, I believe, a new mural that is a painting, if we can coin that expression, down there at the overpass on South Monroe Street, where the trail is going to go from Cascades Park on out around FAMU Way, and there is a new mural that they started last weekend, I think, building that. And that seems to be a disincentive for people to do graffiti. Once you have a mural up, you have very few graffiti artists. I guess it's professional courtesy. I don't know. Who will go and try to overpaint that mural with a tag. You don't see that much. I know what happens, but just not a lot.
One would hope.
So we need more murals to keep the graffiti away. I don't know if that would work or not. Don's on line one. Let's add him to the conversation here on Perspectives. Hi, Don.
Hey, Tom. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Listen, I've been a volunteer for Adopt a Street over here on Souter Road, right next to Leon High School. Been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now. It's been a little frustrating. I'd like to challenge the Lincoln High School students. They walk up and down Souter at lunchtime, and they throw their trash on the sidewalk. I watch them do it. I pick it up. The next day, it just happens over again. So it's a little frustrating. So I'd like to challenge the Lincoln High School students to do a little better job of not throwing their litter on my sidewalk. I live here. I live in Rockbrook. This is my home, and the students don't seem to realize that. Then I also have a question on recycling. I'm curious about the money. There has to be some return on recycling. I've never heard anything about any. How much is it? Who gets it? How much goes to Marpan? How much does the city of Tallahassee get? So that's my question.
Boy, that's a wonderful question. Now, I did talk to Mr. Marpan, Kim, about return on investment for recyclables. And I tell you, it is, from what he described, Don, it is like trying to follow the stock market because it is so volatile. The market for recycled paper may be way up 1 month and then take a plunge the next month. It depends on supply and demand. Same thing for glass, aluminum, ferrous metals, that kind of thing. And it is it's crazy. I think he has a full-time person over at Marpan that follows that so he can determine where to get the best return on what he collects. Is that what you kind of heard, Diana?
Yes, that's my understanding. Yeah, and some things are difficult to get any money for, plastic bottles, that sort of thing. There's, you know, it's not all a big moneymaker.
Yeah, and that leads us to the question of hazardous waste. And we wanted to talk about that, Joanne Palmer. What's the deal on that? Because that's also part of the beautification process, too, is getting rid of that stuff, which is not easy.
That's right. Wakulla County partners with Jefferson County because Wakulla is not an approved holding facility. So people cannot just bring their hazardous waste materials to the transfer station anytime. We host semi-annual events. We have our hazardous waste day coming up on April the 30th. That's a change of the date. So April 30th. And we have EQ come out of Tampa, and people come and bring anything with a plug is considered hazardous waste. We have listing on our website of the chemicals, and I know that the city of Tallahassee does this more often, but they are approved facilities, so they can house it. We have to do it twice a year. But hazardous waste is material that if it corrodes, batteries, things like that, or paint, you know, we just don't want you taking your paint out and throwing it and it washing it into the ground because that is not a good thing. So we take anything with the plug, and hazardous waste is definitely something that is a concern to our area, particularly because we're a coastal community. So,
well, and the fact, too, that we have our drinking water source is groundwater.
Exactly, groundwater materials. Yeah, I remember people don't think much about spilling the gas and where things like that go, but we take those types of things seriously in our county, and we really have good participation. We have had over an average of 225 cars come through. Now, some of them may have one fluorescent light bulb, but some of them may have 50-gallon cans of paint. So.
Mm. Mary Ann is awaiting online, too. Let's get to her now on Perspectives. Hi, Mary Ann.
Good day.
Yes, go right ahead.
I have been attending the City and County Commission meetings for some time, a couple of years, related to my Cascades Park and the amphitheater and the noise coming into the neighborhood as a result. And what I want to – I've heard a lot of commissioners talking about protecting our environment. And sometimes those promises aren't kept. And I think it's really important that we keep our commissioners aware of our concerns. I also want to add to the conversation the beauty of the area. I live in Myers Park, an older neighborhood in our community. And the sound and sound ordinance is also part of the beauty of our area, and we're under siege from that with the development, and those sound issues need to be mitigated along with our business needs in the community.
No, well, so certainly, and boy, we appreciate the input on that, Mary Ann. It is called noise pollution for a reason, and it can be a detriment to the quality of life. So not just roadside litter or even hazardous waste that we're wrestling with how to dispose of properly without endangering anybody or anything, but what do you do with the noise, too? And I guess that gets us back to, again, community involvement. When you have more people who care about an issue to get up with the elected officials, to go to the meetings. If you see them while you're out shopping in Publix on a Sunday morning, say, hey, I'm worried about this, or this is an area of concern I have, and I really want to sit down with you and talk about it. The more people that do that, the better the community for everyone. Just like, I guess, the more people who volunteer for these kinds of programs, Mary Jean, that's the better it is for visual and other kinds of beautification.
That's exactly right. And you know, if somebody asked me, describe the mission of Keep Florida Beautiful, and this could apply to everyone else and their affiliates around the state, just as short of words as possible, I would say clean, green communities. And so the efforts towards whatever it takes to get that and to preserve that community spirit then continues on after we've left with our organized events, and somebody can just say, we just can't let that happen. So.
Yeah, and same thing that you're doing in McCulloch County then, Joanne, when it comes to trying to get more folks to realize that this is what makes McCulloch County what it is. You take away the beauty and the environment, and what do you have? You've got a couple nice businesses down there and some, you know, pretty little developments and all, but that is the selling point of your area.
Well, the state of Florida as a whole depends on tourism for their a lot of their tax base. So if you consider that, we are one of the most beautiful, really accessible, easy coastal places to get to from Tallahassee and the Panhandle. And if we don't keep it clean, people don't want to return. So if you want to keep people coming back to see your area, then it needs to be clean. And you spoke early on about people coming to visit. We had some friends come, and they were amazed. And they live in L.A. County. And so that is a huge, busy, dirty area. And they were amazed at the beauty. I was a little embarrassed that there was litter on the road. But it is beautiful compared to that county in some areas. But that is really the aesthetics of what keeps people coming back. Helps our tourism dollars. It helps. And I remember the former sheriff in McCulloch County said, a clean community is a safe community. And you've alluded to that, too. And it does make a difference, because if somebody sees something, they go, well, it's already done. I'm going to throw some more down there. So it's all – I keep saying the term behavior, but it is about behavior. So.
Yeah, same for you, too, Diana.
Well, and it can start with one person. In College Terrace, they've started block leaders. So one person in that neighborhood got excited about making that neighborhood better. She started a block. Each of the blocks has a leader. They come together. They have a newsletter now. They're all looking after each other. And it starts with one person. It's very, you know, that makes me very proud of them.
But you should, because – and that is where, again, the inverse peer pressure comes from on that. And when you're out on your runs too, Mary Jean,
yes,
gee whiz.
Exactly.
We're just not going to do that. And people are going to look askance at you and say, hey, stop it. Stop it. And that's really effective. I mean, that's the way bad stuff happens, but good stuff happens then too. You had mentioned something while we were sitting out in the lobby, Mary Jean, that I thought was fascinating. The studies that have been done nationally on what are good motivators or ways to make these kinds of behavioral changes easier for people.
You know, you'd be surprised how much literature searches, effort goes into backing up some of these statements that everybody likes to make, like a clean community is a safe community. But Keep America Beautiful kind of takes the lead on a lot of this research, and they can prove that if you have this community where you repair broken windows, you clean graffiti, you clean up litter, the crime rate does decrease. You know, that it helps people with the pride factor. Tom, the thing that always entertains me is, you know, how detailed and interesting the research can be. And so, you know, my example is Walt Disney World saying, you know, we need to figure out just how far people are willing to walk to throw away garbage or throw away something, a leftover hot dog wrapper or something. And they came up with a figure of 29 yards. This, or not yards. That'd be terrible. Feet. 29 feet people would be willing to go to properly throw something away. So what did they do? They came in and they put garbage receptacles every 30 steps. And so if you think back to your Disney visits, you don't go hurting or looking for a garbage can. And now next to those garbage cans, they put recycling containers. And so, you know, you do that research to figure out what is optimal in this particular situation, and you go from there.
Yeah, well, it's like at every little Star Metro stop, there is a trash receptacle. And it amazes me to see people. I saw it just the other day as I was leaving work. Someone was standing at a Star Metro stop waiting for the bus, unwrapped, I don't know, it was some kind of food thing, and just dropped the wrapper there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I beat the horn.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
And I pointed to him. He just sort of gave me this, you know, nasty look. But I thought it may only be wishful thinking on my part. But I thought in my rearview mirror, I saw him actually reach down and pick it up. But, you know, we can only hope here. Let's see if we can get to Elizabeth here in the few moments we have remaining here on Perspectives. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment, I guess, regarding possible motivation for people to not create litter or to pick up their litter. I also live in Myers Park, and I'm close to Magnolia Drive. And, you know, presently, I guess the city is building that, you know, that thoroughfare. I don't know what they call it exactly, but the, you know, the connection there to the rest of the trail. And so there's less litter on the road than there normally is. But even now, with less thoroughfare, there's so much litter that's just thrown out of cars by, you know, vehicles driving by. And I've just wondered for the longest time why the city doesn't implement some type of, you know, like citation and start fining people and really like create a little subsection of TPD or something to really enforce that. Because rather than taxing homeowners and raising property taxes, you know, it seems like if people had to pay when they littered, they'd be less likely to do it.
Yeah, I can understand that. And Diane Hansen, I know that's an issue probably for not only the city commission but also Chief DeLeo and his folks there. Do we have an ordinance, an anti-littering ordinance?
There is one, I'm sure. I think it's a $250 fine. I will say that I work with probation folks too, and some of what they do is clean up streets for probation. So it's not a direct link. But the other one thing I want to mention too is people tarping trucks, because a lot of litter comes out of the backs of pickup trucks. And if you're not going to tarp your truck, at least make sure there's nothing back there that's so light that it will fly out and hit the motorist's car behind you.
Oh, I see that a lot. Yeah, because we like our pickup trucks in this part of the country. And sometimes that's kind of our trash receptacle back there. Yeah,
we do have an ordinance that you should tarp your truck. But we also, Keep Wakulla County Beautiful, lobbied and wrote a new ordinance for Wakulla County and got a new ordinance passed 2 years ago, and we paid for signs and got signs posted that we do have an ordinance. I appreciate your mentioning that. It's just that getting it to be enforced is the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Enforcement is a terrible issue.
Yeah, and when law enforcement is already pretty well stretched
right.
now, you know, if you're on the call to, say, a domestic battery case
exactly.
and you see someone, you know, toss a 2-liter empty container out, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've never seen anybody actually throw anything out except a cigarette butt, which is still considered litter. And cigarette butts are the number one item picked up worldwide for litter.
I can absolutely see that, yeah. Although you have found some other things, too. You were saying about beer bottles. That seems to be a big problem.
Oh, beer bottles are a terrible, terrible problem in Wakulla County. And I attribute it to the fact that people don't want to get caught with an open container in their car. So they just toss it out the window. And I don't know where people in their minds think that's going to go.
That is going to go, yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's a glass 40 or 32 ounce and it busts on the side of the road, and then you have shards of glass. And
then when they do the forest burns, you know, it exposes so many things that have been thrown in the woods that don't burn. Glass doesn't burn. It's there forever.
Okay. Couple minutes left here, just about 1.5 minutes left. Upcoming event next Saturday, Diane.
February 27th. We meet at Lake Ella, 7:30 in the morning. T-shirts, cleaning materials, beverages.
And you got one coming up too, Jane.
February 27th, we are meeting at Federal Highway 13 and Aaron Road for a forest cleanup.
Okay.
8 o'clock.
And we will be there or B Square. Mary Jean Yon, Joanne Palmer, and Diana Hansen, thank you so much for being on Perspectives. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls are doing the stuff behind the scenes today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we are going to have some beautiful stuff, too. Some beautiful, delicious honey beekeepers coming up next week right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.